Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear your word with joy. Amen.
1 Samuel 3, 1 through 21, and it can be found on page 423 in your pew Bible. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about his sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What is it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word.
I'm so excited. Look at all these friends. I think I might stand up so I can look at all your beautiful, happy faces. Is that good? Does everybody have a seat? So great to see everybody. You know, today we have to have great listening ears on, because in our message today that Pastor Chris is going to tell us from the Bible, there was a very special friend, and he needed to be a very good listener. I love this story Pastor Chris is going to tell us today, because it's about a child just like you. And guess what? God spoke to that child, and you know what? He became somebody so special in God's eyes. Do you know we're all really special in God's eyes? There was a There was a boy named Samuel. His mommy's name was Hannah, and she prayed and prayed that she would have a child. And she had Samuel, and she promised God that she would raise him in the church. So he lived at the church, and there was a very special man named Eli, and he helped take care of him. And one night, we're all going to pretend now we're going to sleep. Can we pretend we're going to sleep? Put your hands like you're going to sleep. And all of a sudden, Samuel heard his name being called. And he said, Samuel, Samuel, wake up, wake up. Somebody was calling Samuel. He thought it was Eli. And he went to Eli, but it wasn't Eli. So he went back to bed again, go back to sleep. Samuel, Samuel, wake up. Oh, he went back to Eli. Eli said, I did not call you. Go back to sleep. Samuel, Samuel, wake up, wake up. He went back to Eli, and Eli said, go back one more time. He said, I think God is calling you. And guess what, Hudson? Guess who was calling Samuel? It was God, Daniel. It was God who was calling Samuel. And you know what? He called him by name because he had some very special work for him to do. And you know what, friends? God lives within all of us, and he calls us. You know what? Sometimes, though, we don't always hear him. Do you know how we have to hear him? We have to read his word. We need friends like Eli. Look at all the wonderful people out here. Your moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, brothers and sisters. We have Pastor Chris. We have so many people to help us learn how God is speaking to us. And we want to pray to him. And God speaks to us. And you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to listen and be who he's called us to be. Holland and Brady. And Hudson, who's this friend? Can
Brian.
You tell? Brian. Can we say hi to everybody? It's not Brian. Scott, right? It's Scott. We're so happy to have him. And Henry, and Michaela, and Daniel, and Emily. All the friends here, all the friends out there. God calls all of us Mrs. Weiss. And you know what? I look at all your beautiful, happy faces, and guess what? You help me. I could call you. I'm going to call you Holland right now, and I'm so happy that God's given me all of you in my life. I look at all your beautiful, happy faces, and I see God because I see his love for all of us. So let's remember to be really good listeners when we read God's word, when we pray, when we come to church. And remember, we want to show everybody we meet about God and his love for us. So we're going to pray now. We're going to fold our hands, and I am so proud of all you friends. You should be so proud for being such great listeners right now. Let's fold our hands. We're going to talk to God. Dear God, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for loving us so much that you call each of us by name and help us to show and share your love with everybody we meet wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, friends, have a great week. Thanks for being such great listeners.
Bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So great to have so many kids up here during a children's sermon. I mean, it's a wonderful illustration of this Samuel story. But before we get into Samuel the boy, let's set the stage a little bit. So last week when we gathered together, we learned about how God cared for his people by giving them food to eat as they wandered their way through the wilderness. Well, we're going to take a pretty big leap here and imagine that now they've entered the promised land and they have driven out the people who lived there that God had given to them, and now they've set up shop. It's their land, this land that had been promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. This vision is finally complete. And so naturally, the people, they move in and they start to establish a way of life as a nation. Now, you would think that going from one family to a nation and telling the story of how God had done all of this for them, they would be a people who would be eternally grateful to God. They would be singing God's praises every single day, right? Well, as so often happens to us, when the Israelites start to have some success, when life starts to normalize for them, they forget that it was God who did all of this, and they start to pat themselves on the back for all of the wonderful things that they have done, all of the success that they have worked so hard for. And, well, the Bible says it this way, that the people start to do what is right in their own eyes. Everyone starts to act according to their own moral compass instead of remembering God's law. And this happens on a cycle. And every time the people fall into this pattern of doing what is right in their own eyes, God sends to them someone called a judge. Okay, so the book of Judges in the Old Testament are the stories of these people that God sends to try to right the ship. It's in that book that we get the great stories of Samson and Gideon and Deborah, these people who are leaders of great strength, of great wisdom, of great resolve, who lead the people back towards God. Well, when we get to the start of the book of 1 Samuel, we're told that the word of the Lord is rare in these days. It seems like when the people forget to listen for God, they start to develop sort of a selective hearing, if you will, around God's word. The word of the Lord becomes rare. When God's people stop listening to God, perhaps God just stops wasting God's time on them. God stops speaking. And in a cautionary tale of anyone who would dare to call themselves pastor or leader of a church, we have the person of Eli. Eli himself seems to be a godly man, although the book of 1 Samuel does characterize him as a bit dim-witted, callous, insensitive, perhaps. Ruth told us about Hannah, who herself is infertile. Her husband has another wife who produces children for him, and although he loves his wife Hannah, this other wife starts to pick on her and make fun of her for not being able to have children. And so in desperation, she goes to the place where people should go when they're hurting. She goes to the place where people should go when they're in need. She goes to church. She goes to the tabernacle. She goes to offer an offering to God as a way of reaching out to God and pleading for God to hear her and to help her. And Eli, who is about the closest approximation to pastor in this story that we get, sees her and very tenderly says, "You must be drunk. What are you doing here?" You see, he's kind of hard of hearing. He can't really see all that well. And so he sees her lips moving, but doesn't hear what she is saying. And so immediately, his mind jumps to the worst case scenario. This woman is drunk. Nice guy. Good pastor. I think it's Pastor Appreciation Month. We should pick on pastors a little bit more, I think, for the things that they do. But Hannah, she's a woman of strength. She's a woman of resolve. She is someone who believes that God is going to look out for her. And she says to Eli, "I am not drunk. I am here because I am pleading for God to hear my case. And if I have a child, I will devote that child to God's service." and Eli, having rightly been put in his place, blesses her. And she goes home to her husband, and she gets pregnant, and she has a child. And she names him Samuel. And on the eighth day of his life, when a child is brought to the tent for a naming, for a bris, perhaps, she leaves him there. And Eli raises him as his own son to be a priest after him. Meanwhile, Eli has two sons, pastor's kids, and they do what pastor's kids so often do. They cause havoc in the church. We've got pastor's kids here today, I think, right? They cause havoc in the church. These guys, Phineas and Hophni are their names. They steal the meat that is consecrated for sacrifice to God, and they take it home and eat it themselves. All right? Which is not mere mischief. That's a clear violation of God's law. And what does Eli do about it? Well, strike two against Eli. He doesn't do anything about it. He doesn't do anything to correct his son's behavior. He lets it go. He maybe thinks, oh, they'll come around someday. And it isn't until other worshipers to the temple, to the tabernacle, to the tent, start to point out to Eli that his sons have violated God's law that he decides to try to correct them. But by that point, it's too late. The damage has been done. A prophet is sent to speak a word to Eli to say, because of this sin, God is abandoning your house and is going to choose someone else to speak. So here is Samuel, now a boy, perhaps no older than the kids who were up here. And we're told that it's sometime in the middle of the night. It's not yet morning. The light in the tent has not yet gone out. So sometime in the middle of the night, Samuel hears a voice saying, Samuel, Samuel. Well, there's only one other person in the tent. So Samuel jumps up and runs to Eli and says, what? You called me. And Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he does. He goes back to bed, lays down. Here's a second time. Samuel, Samuel. Jumps up again, goes to Eli. Yes, what would you like? What, you called me. Eli says again, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. Thing happens a third time. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel jumps up. He's exasperated at this point, right? He must think that either he's going crazy or Eli is going crazy or something is happening here. He goes to Eli and says, you called me. And just then, Eli finally figures out, maybe something else is going on here. Maybe this might be the Lord. Here is someone who is supposed to be the priest, the one who is the official go-between, between God and God's people. And yet, he's so dim-witted that he doesn't hear God's voice when God speaks. But he finally gets it. See, God is persistent. God is going to get God's way, believe it or not. And so Eli says, Samuel, I want you to go back and lay down. And if the voice calls to you again, say these words. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that Lord is in all caps, which is a clear indicator of who it is that Samuel should expect to hear from. The great I am. I am who I am, God said to Moses. Tell the people that I am has sent you. That's the word. the voice speaks, and this time the writer of 1 Samuel tells us that the Lord comes and stands in front of Samuel and speaks. And Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And that willingness to listen to what God has to say is the thing that changes Samuel's life. Samuel is given a message. He says, "I want you to go and tell Eli that because of the sin of his family, I am abandoning him. Everything that I said was going to pass is going to come to pass." That's the message that Samuel has to deliver. Samuel is frightened. No one wants to be the bearer of bad news. No one wants to give people words that they don't want to hear. It's a very uncomfortable situation to be in. So he goes to sleep, probably a fitful night's sleep. He wakes up the next morning, and you can imagine that he's probably avoiding Eli. He goes about his tasks, but perhaps he, you know, hides behind the curtain anytime Eli walks by, just so he won't have to say the words that God has told him to say. But finally, Eli sees him and says to him, "So what did he say? What word did you receive last night, Samuel? You tell me what it is, no matter what it is. May God deal with you ever so severely if you don't say every word exactly as you heard it." And Samuel tells Eli everything that God said to him. And Eli accepts it, accepts what God's will is, and says God is going to do whatever God sees fit to do. And from that moment on, God is with Samuel. And Samuel grows up to be a great judge of the people. But more than that, Samuel becomes the one who serves as the bridge point from the era of the judges and the era of monarchy. When the people demand a king, God chooses Samuel to select who their king is going to be. Samuel is given this awesome call. And it starts with a voice that he doesn't recognize. In our Sunday school class this morning, one of the opening questions was, "Have you ever heard the voice of God before? And what did God say? What were the circumstances? And what did you do?" For me, hearing God's voice clearly comes in those times when I'm outside of my comfort zone. When I was in high school, I had the opportunity to go to India on a trip with Habitat for Humanity and a group from my church. And it was there in a strange land with strange smells and strange sights and strange food and strange religions that I clearly heard the voice of God as this sort of inward pull towards ministry. It wasn't an audible voice. As my childhood pastor used to say, the only voice from above I've ever heard is "Attention, Kmart shoppers." But God speaks to us. God calls each of us. If God cares about us and God loves us, If we believe that, then we should also believe that God has a purpose for our lives, and that God calls us to live lives of abundance for Him. That God calls us on grand adventure in His name. For Samuel, the key to hearing that call was having someone who was his elder, someone who he respected, someone he loved, had to first help him understand who it was that was speaking, and then encourage him and compel him to speak the words that he was hearing. Samuel was to be a prophet. And the funny thing about prophets is so often their job is to correct people's behavior. And that means going up against some pretty hefty folks. It means delivering some pretty harsh messages. You know what the life expectancy of a prophet is in the Old Testament? About 5 minutes after they talk to the king, usually. Chances are, you know a prophet is a true prophet if they die shortly after they deliver their message. And Samuel wasn't going to be the prophet that God needed him to be unless Eli was willing to push him to his limit, push him to the point of speaking those words. Who is it in your life that pushes you to follow what God is commanding you to do? Who is it that helps you to hear God's call in your life? We had a great illustration from our kids this morning. They are counting on us, each one of us, to help them to understand who God is calling them to be, what God is calling them to do. They serve as a great illustration of what we all need. We all need voices in our lives, people who will encourage us, people who will exhort us, people who will rebuke us, people who will correct us. Each one of us has been called by God to serve in God's ministry in some way. My fear is that there are too many of us who don't believe that. There are too many of us who go through our lives believing that we're just living for the sake of living, that we don't have any divine purpose, that God couldn't possibly be calling us, that we're not important enough. But the Bible is filled of stories of people who were ordinary until God called them. And so my challenge for you today is not only to listen for God's voice, but also help one another to hear God's voice and to do what God calls you to do. Help one another. Be a community of faith in that way. Who's not afraid to call someone out. To say, you're not living according to what God wants you to do. But there's this grand adventure that's waiting out there. God is at work in our community. God is at work in our world. And God is calling us, regular folks like you and me, to to join in what God is doing and to go on this grand adventure of living this abundant life that God has called us to as a people. My prayer for us is that that call would be one that grips us in such a way that we can't get away from it. Because God won't stop. God is incessant. You can run, but you can't hide. I've probably told this story before, but the year that I started seminary, a woman graduated from seminary, and she was 82 years old, graduating with a Master's of Divinity, and she was ordained by the classis, and she served faithfully in ministry at the age of 82. God is incessant. God will find you. Think about the adventure you're missing out on if you're not following what God has called you to do. Stop running. Stop hiding. Speak these words. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for your call on our lives. We thank you for being diligent with us, for your resolve that we might live fully according to your purposes in our lives. Lord, I pray for each one of the people in this room that they would be open to hearing your word, open to hearing your voice, open to hearing when you call, and that we would all have the courage to speak the words of Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We also ask that you would give us the wisdom and the courage to see God's call in each other's lives and to name what that call is, that we might live up to the name disciple, that we might live up to the name Christian, and that we might wear that name as a badge of honor and responsibility to our world, living that life that Christ came to give to us, a life of fullness, a life abundant, life eternal. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father.